Wednesday night, or the Yud Beis Kislev said, what is it? Anyway, we're learning Shmaitzah, the Shmaitzah Shir. We're going over the Shmaitzah Beis in a bit more clearly, with more clarity, I think, than the first time around. You don't have to admit it, I'll admit it. And we're in Shmaitzah Beis Perek Daled. I want to go over yesterday's point, because it's very, I think it's very important, even though it's not really the Shmaitzah's point, it's sort of parenthetical, because the Shmaitzah's point is just to use the Rashba. The Rashba says, whatever the case is, there's no Cheskes HaGuf. Could you get a Tzoyis HaKhoshin, please? I'm sorry. In case you get a fancy one that has more than one Chelek, so we want Reish Chav Daled. Thank you. Yeah, they're all, it's over there. I'm just saying over the Rashba. I'm just saying the Rashba. So the Rashba says there's no cheskos aguf by the cheese. You made cheese and then you found the animal to be a trefa. So the cheeses are mutter, but says the Rashba, if you could use, he doesn't forget.
If you said that what made it a trefa, okay, has a longer life than immediately right before
you right, pizza, right.
Then,
yeah.
Right. No,
it could have happened right
but
now.
But whatever the case.
It's just a very exciting game. The Rose is playing hot and cold with them from where the place
was. Missed it by that much.
Really young, not like now. So there was no pirche then. Nobody, pirche wasn't invented yet. So there's somebody. So we used to play ball, chas v'shalom, in the street. You know. So a guy collected us, and he called it Onik Shabbos. Made Onik Shabbos. Rabbi Pesim was his name. I think the grandfather or great grandfather of someone that just moved into Ramat Beit Shemesh. He was by one of our Olech Hadasha parties. Like most of them. We gotta stop that party. We gotta ask for our money back. If they don't come. Anyway, Pesim is his name. He made Onik Shabbos. What?
It's an uncle.
Who's an uncle?
Pesim from the old days is the one who was Ramat Beit Shemesh. He's his father's brother.
Oh, so young? I thought it was like a grandfather.
Maybe. But it's not a father or grandfather.
We were kids, so he made Onik Shabbos. So he brought us all together, corralled us, and told us a story, and gave out chocolate marshmallows. Like very square chocolate marshmallows. Didn't have to, those days, didn't know how to be kosher. It didn't say pig fat on it. You're okay. So we gave it that, and we played games, and we played hot and cold. That's how I know how to play hot and cold. That was one of the games we played. And we sang songs, but there were no songs then. So songs were Elecha Hashem Ekra, Elecha Hashem Ekra, and Yizbuchu Hashem Ayim, and Oshia Samecha, and like that was it. There were no other songs except if you were Lubavitch or Bobov, so you knew those songs. But we didn't know those songs. We were kids. He kept us off the street. Onik Shabbos. Then Pirche started. A few years later, when I was like 11, Pirche started. This is when I was like 5, 6 years old. Onik Shabbos. Very nice. I have to thank him. I did thank him. I told him. I'm like you told. For the marshmallows. Hot and cold, and there was two games we basically played, hot and cold, and I forgot the other one. Okay, it kept us off the street for 45 minutes to an hour, kept us off the street. Okay, so the Rashba says, you know the Sefer Mishmeres Chaim?
Remember.
Yeah. I had Rav Altusky, Rav Scheinberg's son-in-law, who's Nebuch now, you know, for quite a few years already. He's in a nursing home on Sorotskin. Whatever it's called, the nursing home. His wife is still like She gives parenting classes here, I think, every Sunday night. Comes from Mount Beach Emmy. She gives parenting classes. She's like a ball of fire. She's still in, so her husband's in the nursing home. Anyway, he was my, that's the Chiddushi Basra.
Yeah.
That's the Chiddushi Basra. So we, I had him as an eighth grade rev, you know, J.J. So every Thursday night or Sunday night, I forget already which, I think it was Sunday night, we came after school, and at night, we had like a mishmer at school, and he asked us questions. Those are the Mishmeres Chaim questions. He asked us those questions, and he wanted to like develop some sort of, you know, acuity, it's called, A-C-U-I-T-Y, some type of sharpness. And I still remember a lot of the questions, because we did it day in, day out for a year. And not day in, day out, we did it weekly for a year. That was the first year I missed The Wizard of Oz. That's my riot was on a Sunday night. But The Wizard of Oz, you know, talking about The Wizard of Oz.
Once a year, right.
Once a year, and it was only a Sunday night. So I guess it was Sunday night. And I mamish missed it. Now, I'm not saying I did it willingly, my parents, maybe, like I had no choice. But
did you not get to it?
I'm not going to talk to him. Stop. He was a great rabbi. He was a.
He was an inventor instead of watching music.
Hey. At that age, I'm not sure. Anyway, he was a very interesting rabbi. First of all, we sat in a half circle. Everybody else who sat rows. And the kid in the back row, I could play, I couldn't do anything. He sat us in a half circle, like the Sanhedrin Mamish, and he saw what, and it was a big place, like 25 kids, but a huge rooms, an Andre Jazz, a huge building, huge rooms, and he sat us all in a half circle. And he could see what everybody was doing. He was a very good rabbi, very unusual rabbi. No, this is a grade school, Kedusha Basra, or Tusk. Oh, Remendel did that also. But that wasn't such a big chiddush. Maybe he didn't really give a shit. Okay, in the Konami. But Tusky did it to kids. Like, and he said over to Gemara. And he was the only Rebbe. He was on JJ. Like, in those years, he didn't learn anything. And the Rebbeim were off the boat. The Rebbeim, like, they just picked the Rebbeim from Shanghai. Like, I don't know where they were coming from. Shanghai. They like educators. Who is an educator? They give you one smack in the face. So he was the only. He learned with us Tanakh. He was the only rabbi that learned with us besides Gemara. We had other limudim. We learned Parshas HaShavua, which no one else did. We learned Tanakh, which no one else did, and we learned Archa Sadikim. What's the same? But no one did that. No. And we had groups on Shabbos. Him and Rav Scheinberg used to make like a competition of learning on Shabbos. We used to come together and learn, and if you learned hours, you got a prize. And we used to eat shalshudas with them. And he used to give a 7-layer cake. I still remember. That 7-layer cake was a very big incentive. And we learned on Shabbos, and it was like a long, long time ago. It was before. I remember Rav Scheinberg moved to Israel. And he made the Yeshiva Torah R. He left the east side and he went to Torah R. And he went to Israel. Anyway, so I had the Chiddushi Basra for a Rebbe. So, sorry. Rav Baruch Sachs, who's still around, alive and kicking. If anybody heard the name of Rav Baruch Sachs.
Is there a Mendel's son?
No, I doubt it. I don't think so. I doubt it. Baruch Sachs, Adam in 7th grade. Adam in 7th grade, and Chiddushi Basra was 8th grade. Rav Shaila Shimonovitz was 9th grade. Then I went to Philly, and I remember Kaplan. But Chiddushi Basra, he did such unusual things with us. You weren't allowed to go to the bathroom. So, what? If you have to go. So, if you went outside, if we were learning Chumash, you had to write to Tilshani. And if hand in a written, you had to write over the Chumash Tilshani. And the second time you went, you had to write to Shlishi, to Ravi. And you know something? I saw then that 98% of going to the bathroom is because you're bored. You have nothing else to do, so you go outside, you take a break. And if you have to write till Shaney, and I'm telling you, in Kisisa, no one went to the bathroom. The Tzavim Vaye left in like an exodus. No one cared. But in Kisisa? And if you were learning Gemara, you had to write the whole Omer Gemara. So you say how cruel, but it cut down going to the bathroom 90%. Like no one went. You didn't go, and no one got sick. Okay, you don't have to go to the bathroom. You have to go to the bathroom. Go before 9 o'clock.
I don't mean that. If somebody's bored and needs a break, isn't it better to just let them take a break?
Those years, we didn't think like that. You sat in your seat, and you kept your finger on the place, and if not, you got a whack with a ruler. You're talking like an educator, you know. Those years, the move from education.
But we
had the band that were not from. I'm sure of it. In third and fourth, I'm sure my third and fourth grade Rebbe were not.
At the time they were teaching, they were. At the time they were being, they were not.
Yeah, I'm sure, but because Rabbi Reisberg, I mean, I shouldn't say his name. In fourth grade, he used to eat breakfast in the Garden cafeteria, right around the corner. The Garden cafeteria wasn't a kosher place. And we used to see him eat breakfast there. Okay, well, you could tie in those years, no one knew from kosher, like, so what do you have for breakfast? So you had a cup of coffee, you know, he didn't have ham and eggs. But Rabbi Marco, my third grade Rabbi, would sit and smoke the whole time. You couldn't see his face, like a haze of smoke.
But Kiddush Shabbos is a big time in Chacham, so he taught different.
Kiddush Basra was an unbelievable mechanech. And really, I don't feel so much that he was my Rebbe like I do with Rabbi Mendel Kaplan, but like just the idea that he sat us in a half circle and he learned with us Chumash and Nach and Musar, not just Gemara, and he would talk to us. That was my first experience of a Rebbe talking, not just teaching. But he would talk to us about, I don't know, about being from, about, I probably half my class became not from. You don't know, this is like the first generation after the war. You don't know from anything. I am sure that half my class became not from. I'm sure of it. I mean, I'm talking about non-JJ. I don't like to follow up. If I wanted to be a sociologist, I would follow up. I mean, I remember everybody's name. I remember their names. I have my yearbook. I have my eighth grade yearbook. I could, like, Google their names and see what became of them.
Do it.
One guy I know stayed from because his son, Barry Doppelt, became Baruch Doppelt. He has a son now in Yerushalayim who's like a caterer who has a food store. And he's a caterer. It's like his father, my classmate. I have very chosh of a classmate. Heshi Kaminsky is now the Rashiv at Mir. He was in that class. Okay, good, let's learn. So that's how I know how to play hot and cold. I don't know, they didn't become not from because of the rebellion. It was just like a different door, and we were mutak from everything. It was the first generation after the Holocaust. So like, I don't know, there was like a disconnect. No one became not from. It's a pellet that they went to yeshiva in the first place, not in public school. They just drifted away. It wasn't like going off the derech.
You would think after the ones in yeshiva and not public school, the ones that stayed from
it. Yeah, I don't know. Their parents went from, they were Shivrei Kalim. Everybody was Shivrei Kalim. I was very lucky. My parents were not. My father was a shtickle, but he ran away. He went to Shanghai, and his brother was killed. But his parents were already in Israel. They moved there in the 30s. His whole family moved there in the late 30s because of a pogrom in Poland. So because of a pogrom in Poland, they moved to Israel. And that was in the late 30s, and they got out. Because like in 33, not even in the late 30s, in 1933 or 34, they all moved to Israel. But it's not such a good experience. They all became not from. Because of Zionism, so they all became not from, except for my father, who was in yeshiva. So So that, you know, it's not nice to say maybe they would have been better off dying in the Holocaust. But Rashi does say, Godel HaMachdius Chaveri Yosef in Ahorgo. So it's not so poshut. Not so poshut. You're shocked? It's not poshut that it's better to be alive and turn not from, and the kids are not from, and the grandkids are not from. They're all.
But there's still a possibility.
They disappear, they assimilate.
Hello? Talk quick. It's about to hang up on you. Who is this?
I think it's a Kazan.
I know, I apologize for my rudeness, but I'm in the middle of giving a shiur. If today, as opposed to every night, but today it'll have to be after my, I don't know where you're calling from. Brooklyn, okay. After my 11 p.m., that's after your 4 p.m. 3-4 hours. Yeah, okay, please, I'm in the middle of the shoot. Bye bye. I want to go over the Rashba, even though it's a little parenthetical. The Shmaita brings down a Rashba for the purpose of proving that there's this din of Ein Machzikin Reyes from Rishus to Rishus that's really not the din of Cheskos Aguf. And that's why I wanted to say is because we said that although it's not working with the dynamic, with the mechanics of Cheskos Aguf, so we said, but the Gemara talks about Cheskos Aguf, like how do you ignore the Gemara? So we gave this whole Torah that's what it's based on, and the chain could be stronger than its weakest link, and all of that. So I want to bring a raya from the Ketzayis. Because the Ketzayis, listen how the Ketzayis says over this din of the Shmaitza, and somebody who's has not been zochet to be at this year might learn the Ketzayis, and his eyes will pop out of his head. He says he's arguing with the Shmaitza. Yep. The Ketzayis says,
where is it? I'm sorry.
Reish Chav Dalet Beis. Tzos HaChoshen. Yeah, the Shmaitza legend has it, or maybe it's true, that he wrote it when he was 18. The Shmaitza.
So it could be just changed his mind.
Okay. Yeah, he's allowed to change his mind, but listen how he says it. He says, "Kolan avoyd l'asavik v'shuso chayim lovi raya." I'm going to do tshuva. I'm not going to be rude. Hello. Yeah, it's a very bad time to call. I'm in the middle of shir. No, we're not on. I was waiting for you to call the whole day today. Don't tell me now we're on. Call me at. Okay, relax. We'll get together tonight. Call me at 10:30. Call me at 10:30. We'll make up an exact time. Bye. So he says, call me Shinoda Tovik Bishu. So listen how he says it over.
Which din is going on?
He says, without Cheskos Aguf, I'm not going to go over the whole choice. He mixes Ein Machzik and Reyes from Rishus to Rishus. Here, listen to this sentence. Omnam Efshar Da'at Kan Lo Amrina and Kol Anoilet Sofik Rishuso Olav Lavi Raya Elahecha De'ika Cheskos Haguf V'chomol B'Sofik Trefa V'Cheskos Haguf the Olim Tuva. Since Cheskos Aguf is so strong, so it's by Cheskos Aguf that you say Ein Machzik in Reyes from Rishus l'Rishus. Vamrinim Rishus is the Hashda in the Rishus that it's found. Ishtani Gufa, Avo Begneva Vaveda, the Lo Havi Cheskos Aguf, the Lo Ishtani, Avo Gav the Chazoka Havi, Avo Loi Olim from Cheskos Aguf, whatever it's talking about. Even like Yech Books like Ein Machzik Biyali, so. The Ktsais is beferish what we said, really.
Brings it back in.
The Ktsais is beferish what we said. That, of course, you need a base of Cheskos Aguf to say Ein Machzik in Reyes or Rishus l'Rishus. That's why it's called a Reyes. So you have to first have a certain basic assumption. You have to have a certain basic assumption. And then you build on that. So it's a fairish in the Ktsais that says without Cheskos Aguf, you wouldn't say Kol Mishnayos Vasavik Rishus Olav Lavi Raya. But you know, if you want to go with just words without understanding it, so the Shmaitz is saying, and they're proving from the Rashba, that it's only when you don't have a Cheskos Aguf that you say Ein Mafsik Beis and Rishus Nishus. The answer is you don't have a Cheskos Aguf to pass in the Shaila, but you have your basic.
But that goes against the sort of the Kitzos, which is if you have a Chazaka or a Rov, there's no suffering. And the whole point.
Stop. That's only without a Reyosin. He only says that without a Reyosin. He's talking with a Reyosin.
What's the Reyosin here?
I don't know. I didn't go into the case. Okay. I just see that the Lushan, from the Lushan of the Kitzos there, you can look it up. Reish, Chav, Dal.
In our case, in the Sefer, there's no Reyosin. A Mumin.
There's no what?
Reyosin, the Chazaka. Because
it's good. Sure, it's a family Mumin.
What?
Found the moon. That's the biggest race in the world.
Well, it's Chazakas all the time with to solve for problems, no?
What? I mean,
we found the problem. We use Chazakas because we you know, we don't, we want to.
So that's the Gemara. That Chazakas was not enough to be Motzi Mamon. So it's only because of Ein Machzik and Reyes on Rishus L'Rishus, so there's no suffering. Of course, Ein Machzik and Reyes on Rishus L'Rishus. So in the other Rishus, there was never a suffering. Anyway, so the Rashba says in the case of the cheeses, there's no cheskos aguf, and therefore, so no cheskos aguf. So all the cheeses are also. And the Rashba seems to say, l'chayri you see from the Taz in your Yeridaya that the Rashba is saying, he denies saying that, the Rashba. It's a little weird. In his Sefer Mishmeres Habayis, he says a slightly different point to explain the chiluk. He says if it's only if it's a mum, you can only go with cheskos aguf in a mum that you could pinpoint. He seems to be saying you'll pinpoint the time, but if it's so, the Taz says he doesn't understand why can't you use cheskos aguf to say that up until such time when you're forced to say that it happened, so it didn't happen. What's wrong with that point in time? So if the mum had to be there for 4 weeks, so you'll say there was no mum up till 4 weeks ago. So he brings out that the Ra'ah asked this question of the Rashba. And the Rashba says, you didn't, in the Sefer Mishmeres Habayis, the Rashba said, you didn't fully understand what I said. He said, it was a different point. It was, if we could say that the mum happened, or the treifa happened after the animal was dead already. No, the lung can't happen unless it's alive. That's the point. The lung growing sircha and the lung gathering water and punctured, that all are processes that only happen when the animal is alive. So you can't say cheskos aguf because the reyosa is while it was alive. So you don't know, so cheskos aguf does not help you. It doesn't help you to push it off to a later time. Bashenkin, what he meant by the case of the treifa, when you find a machat, you find a needle in the animal's throat, so maybe it became large, maybe it could have punctured whatever it punctured after the animal was shechted already. It's possible. So maybe you have the animal b'chayeha was always, so that's where Cheskos Aguf could help you. To say that the animal b'chayeha was not a treifa. And this, that what you're seeing, happened lachar misa. That's what the Rashba answered, that that's what he meant. That a sircha, the lesion, how do you pronounce it?
Lesion.
The lesion lung is different than finding a needle in the lung. With the needle in the lung, the cheeses will be mutter. Because you could say that the animal, b'chayeha, always had a proper cheskos aguf, the sholem without it being a treifa. By shanking with the circle, with the lesion, so mechayim is messed up, so you don't have a cheskos aguf. That's what the Rashba says. The Taz takes issue with that and says it doesn't work. He has kashas, he has other cases.
Nice is not very much.
So he, I do understand the Rashba, even though the Rashba denies saying it. I think when you can pinpoint, when but it's just vague. When one moment, I mean, right before the sheet, there's also why pinpoint that moment? See, I look at it like the last moment the animal's alive. It's like close to what the Rashba says. When you can say it happened right before the Shechita, so you're essentially saying the behemoth was always the Shalom. But when you question it, did it happen at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, but you know it happened, so Cheskes HaGuf doesn't, there's no reason for Cheskes HaGuf to say it happened 3 o'clock more than 2 o'clock. It doesn't change the anything about the animal. It's not like, oh, maybe that's what the Rashi was saying. I mean, you think, when it enables you to say that the animal, for all intent and purposes, did not have, was not a treif, because it happened like right before the Shechita, if that's possible to say. So you say, you're essentially saying the animal is not a treif, so that's what the Chesed Sanduf allows you to say. Hashem, by the Sircha, did it become a treif at 2 o'clock? Did it become a treif at 3 o'clock? No difference. It's a treifa. You know it's a treifa. You don't know when it happened. So who says it? That's what the Rashi
says. The question is, once it's nisbatra, the chesed.
Yeah, once it's nisbatra, once it's a treifa, there's no difference between 2 and 3 o'clock. Chesed Sanduf does not.
Once it's off,
it's not push it off.
It's finished.
Until the latest possible time. Okay, let's go back to the Shmaitz. I, Mamish, our case. The Mum, where you're pushing it off and saying it happened in the Rishus of the Baal. Rashba, the Rashba now it says, that's not the Pshat there. Pshat there is that since it happened in the Rishus of the Baal, Ein Machzik and Reyes on Rishus of the Rishus. You're not using Cheskes HaGuf, but you're using the rule of Ein Machzik and Reyes on Rishus of the Rishus. Kanim to Kanoi. Okay, very nice.
And the Shmaisa brings it down. Even if it's E.F. Shar, that it happened in Rishus the Baal, it doesn't matter. We still say it happened in Rishus the Baal.
That sentence cannot be true.
Okay. It's underlined at the heavy line right there.
I don't care if you highlighted it.
But it's the Baal Kasha. It's in the Shmaisa. It's black and white. I don't have to explain.
Saying even though it couldn't have happened a moment before you discovered it, he's coming to say that it's like the Rashba Sircha. It's not like the Machat, the needle. It's like the Rashba Sircha. Even though it couldn't have happened the moment before it was discovered, so you can't pinpoint a point in time. So according to the Rashba, there shouldn't be a Cheskes HaGuf. So why is the Baal the Motzi? Why do you say all of Araya?
He
doesn't say it. But he says, it's impossible that it happened now a second before you discovered it. So it's like the Sircha, it's not like the Machat. In other words, in the world of the Rashba, there shouldn't be any Chazaka. So why does the Gemara say the father has to bring a Raya? Not the father, Adarabba, the Baal has to bring a Raya. She says, but that's a different Yisod. Okay, Yishmaitz at the end of Perek Dalet. This will be relevant for tomorrow, because we're not going to get there today. Brings a machlokes rishonim, what it means, and this is going to be relevant. It's going to be relevant for the case on Hamadir, because this is going to be how the Shmaitzer explains what Ravashi is saying. Remember, we didn't understand Ravashi. What's he saying? Use the daughter's Cheskes HaGuf. Can't use the daughter's Cheskes HaGuf. So, Shmaitzer brings out a machlokes rishonim about the rule of Kol Shenoylat Tzavik Rishuso Alav Lavi Raya. What does Rishuso mean? The Rif and the Rambam means whose house is it in? Literally, whose house is it? Literally, whose literally Rishus is it? Is it the Rishus of the Baal? So if it's in the Rishus of the Baal HaChamor, for example, even though he ostensibly sold it, the Chalipim, to the former, you know, the Baal HaChamor was Moishech the Kor. So ostensibly, the Chamor now belongs to the other guy. But now the Chamor is dead. But it's in the house of the Baal HaChamor. So you say he has to bring the Raya.
Or if it's in the Agam.
Relax. So that's what the Rif and the Rosh hold, that it's totally in whose house it's in. And by the machat, if you find the machat, the tabuch put an animal and you found it, it's a treifa. You don't know when the machat got there. So again, it depends on mamish in whose house, you found it. If it's in the agam, meaning if it's in no one's house, so then you follow the rishus. He called it the rishus of the Baal Hamamon, the rishus of the person who ostensibly bought it. I say ostensibly because that's the question he's trying to raise. That it turned out it was a treifa, and he didn't buy it.
He didn't pay for it yet, or
in our case, he didn't pay for it yet because the dinner is he has to be motzi. He's going to be motzi.
Right.
But it's not totally. If it's in the aga, meaning it's in no one's house, this is going to be very relevant to explain Rav Ashi. That even according to the Rif and the Rambam, if it's in no one's mamish house, then you follow the Rishus Mamoni, which might suppose it. The person who ostensibly bought it, and we see it as being in his, as his wealth. We see it as his Rishus Mamoni. Okay, that's the Rif and the Rambam.
What if the husband and wife live in the father-in-law's house? Which they talk about. I didn't make that up.
They shouldn't be living.
But they talk about it.
Okay. It depends if he's doing them a favor or if he rents them a room. The Rosh is Chaylik and hold it's always totally in the Rishus Mamoni. And not whose house it's in.
Which, by the way, is Rashi in the Pshat and the Gemara. Rashi is Beferish. But he doesn't bring Rashi. I don't know why. When I go in the Gemara, it makes it very hard when you're in the Gemara.
Now, our Mishnah said that if the movement were found in the Rishus HaOv, so the Ov has to bring the Rai. So Shmaitzer says, Bishlam, according to the Rif and the Rambam, okay, he was in his house, so he has to bring the Rai. But according to the Rosh, Erison, Lechora should not be considered the Rishus of the father anymore. Ki Yikach Hashisha, the husband bought him, so to speak. So it should be considered the Rishus Mamoni of the husband.
Even though she's still in her father's house.
So that's what the Shmaitzer, that's what the Rosh answers. That the Rishus Mamoni is still the Ovs by Erison. Since he gets, even though the husband has an Erison, but the Rishus Mamoni is also the father's, because he has Maisi Yadayim, and he has all the Shkusei moment he has, so he's called the Rishus Mamoni. Now let's say she's a Bulgarian. Let's say this whole story happened, and she's a Bulgarian. But she's still living at home. Nowadays, the Bulgarian's living at home.
Be her right.
So now it depends, but that's now it's totally in the Machlaikas. And the whole story happened. So Mom is totally in the Machlaikas, Riff and Rush. According to the Riff, it happened in the father's house. So it's not the Rishus of the Baal. It's in her Rishus, the father's Rishus and her Rishus. And according to the Rush, the Baal has to be the right.
If she's already a Bulgarian, can't she use her Feskas, her Feskas Abuf? Because it's her herself. Now it's her herself. It's her own Raya. She's not in the Rishus Av anymore.
Right.
We're not going with Feskas Abuf, we're going with Kandim Sukhanoi. We're not using Feskas Abuf because we're saying like there's no cheskes aguf here. Let's say like the Rashi, no cheskes aguf because you don't know when it happened. There's no point.
That's not even the Rashi.
So where's the kan? So if she's a Bulgarian, so the Rosh says the kan is taken by the Baal. The Baal made Erison already. As if she's a Bulgarian and this story happened, the Baal would always have to make a Ryan. Okay, that's just carried out.